On this episode of Wisco Weekly, I talk about why to consider a broker, breaking down the math of a lease, and tips on visiting a dealership. You don't want to miss this. Come back now, you hear? Welcome to Wisco Weekly. Today is Monday. Had a great weekend. I won't get into the details of it, but nonetheless, was excellent. I wanted to share with you a message I received from a client of mine, and I'm hoping to have her on the show at some point. Her name is Kami Stevens. She's the director of strategic and financial planning at a finance company. She had sent me an email as she and her colleagues are starting a financial blog, and so she'd asked me four questions regarding brokering, and so I want to just share that with you, what her questions were and what my response is to that. This will be nothing more than me reading what I stated, and certainly there can be more discussions to be had about this, and as I'm sure you will find that there are going to be elements that could be a bit argumentative or contentious, forewarning. Okay, first question, why work for a broker? What are the benefits? My answer, historically, customers worked with brokers because they had the best deals. Imagine a time when Costco, AAA, or TrueCar weren't around. Customers had no idea what was a good deal. Now, apply a Costco discount or a TrueCar price and customers can get the same deals that brokers could. So now there are two types of brokers. Those who simply get a price discount and those who have greater access to what the customer wants. The latter provides a customer with benefits such as accurate quotes on specific cars, expediting a dealer visit, more transparency through the entire buying process, and discounts to businesses that support car ownership. Dealers have been slow to adopt the idea that customers will pay a bit more if there is better service, and that's what the good brokers provide. Again, I know that last statement there will be argumentative and contentious to some dealers, and I'm willing to have that discussion at a time that's the most appropriate. Of course, you can call or write me, and we can talk about that. Anyhow, second question, how do you get paid? Brokers get paid in two primary ways. Each source can be combined or independent of one another. The first source is from their client. The second source is from the dealer. For me personally, my primary source of income from brokering deals is from the client. It ensures I'm looking out for their interest first and foremost. My arrangement with dealers allows me a level of access to their operation that is not available to most buyers. How does someone find a broker? This is the third question now. How does somebody find a broker and what to look for in a broker? My answer? Finding a broker can be accomplished by the normal online research channels, kind of like researching for a good restaurant. Though one interesting tidbit about the broker business model is that you are not exactly bound by state lines. There are opportunities where a good broker can broker a deal in another state. What to look for in a broker? Easy, the better half of you. Brokers exist to provide a time-saving and thorough car buying experience. You can lean on them for their knowledge, and if you want them on your side, like an attorney, you can seek out their services. If it aligns then with how you would like to buy cars, then the broker fee will more than justify it. And the fourth question, do brokers help with new and used car purchases? Yes, though brokers are more advantageous to customers for new car purchases because new cars have greater room for negotiation. Brokers who help with used car purchases usually provide more guidance and consultation for a number of reasons. What's been helpful to my clients is when I perform a used vehicle analysis report for them. It's an all-encompassing report of items they may or may not have overlooked. To have a second opinion on a used car purchase is always the best course of action. So those are the answers to the four questions she had sent me. I thought I'd just share that with you. You can digest that however you'd like. And again, I understand there's going to be a few statements I made in here that from a dealership perspective, you will find a bit contentious. Call me 949-456-8335. Would love to talk to you more about it and share your thoughts on Wisco Weekly. We're going to do a quick segment here, and our segment today is called Let's Do the Math. I am Asian and specifically Filipino, so as the stereotype goes, we love playing with our abacus. So we're going to do some math, and the math we're going to do today is going to be on a lease calculation. So follow me on this. Grab a pen and paper if you'd like, and we'll walk over this. We'll walk through this. So in this example, the car we're looking at has an MSRP of $40,000. We are going to do a 36-month, 12,000-mile-a-year lease, and the residual, we will assign it to be 55%. Okay, so those are the key things that we need to know. Based off of that information, we can pretty much figure out the rest. And then also the money factor. The money factor, we're going to call it at 0.00090, which is the equivalent of 2.16%. So those four factors, the MSRP, the residual, the term, and the money factor are all the variables you need to work out a lease by hand. So first things first, what we're going to do is we're going to figure out what the base payment is on a lease. What we're going to do is we're going to take our MSRP, $40,000, and we're going to multiply it by the residual percentage of 55%. So $40,000, I'm going to work this out with you, $40,000 times 55% is $22,000. So $22,000 is our residual. And then what we need to do from here is then we need to figure out what the depreciation is. And the depreciation can be found by taking the MSRP and subtracting the residual value. So we want to take $40,000 minus $22,000, leaves us with $18,000. And so that is our depreciation. So over 36 months, we expect to pay on the car $18,000, or that is what the assigned depreciation is determined by the manufacturer. So if we divide that by 36, then it works out to be an even $500 as a monthly base payment. Now we need to figure out what our rent is per month, or what the finance is per month. And so what we need to do now is we're going to be using our MSRP, our residual dollar amount, and the money factor now. And so I'm not going to go into the reasons why these equations are set up as they are. I'll save that for another talk. I just want to go through the actual math. So now we want to take, in order to figure out what our finance charges are per month, we are going to take $40,000. And now we will add that with our residual value of $22,000, okay, which gives us a number of $62,000. And that $62,000, then we want to multiply by our money factor, which gives us $55.8 or $55.80. So every month, we are going to then take our monthly base payment of $500, add our finance charge of $55.80, and that, at the end of the day, gets us to our monthly payment not including tax, okay? And our monthly payment then is $555.80. So in where I'm at, I'm in Orange County. We have an 8% sales tax, so then all we're going to do is take 555.8 and multiply that by 8%. Oops. And so we're at an even $600.26. So this $40,000 car, if we lease for 36 months and 12,000 miles, we will get a monthly payment, including tax, of $600.26. Now, I'm not, there are the drive-offs that need to be included in this amount, which I'm going to presume in this case with the $40,000 car, the drive-offs should be give or take about $1,100, $1,200. So you'd also have to put that down. But, you know, in the cases where you do discount a vehicle price, so that it's the you're not selling the car at the MSRP of $40,000. Let's say you're going to sell it at $36,000. Well, once you figure out what the residual value is, so going back to the first part of figuring out the base payment, we took $40,000, the MSRP, times 55%, the residual percentage, and got us $22,000 as our residual value. Now, when you want to figure out the depreciation, instead of using $40,000 and then subtracting $22,000, you're going to use the selling price, so $36,000 minus $22,000, and then that gives you your depreciation. Now, when we're also then looking at a payment of $600, including tax, you know, a rule of thumb that a lot of the baby boomers and kind of the gearheads, like to use is they always like to work off of 1% of MSRP should be the lease payment. So in this particular case, they're aiming for a $400 lease payment. So if I'm at $600, to get down to $400, one of the rules of thumb is for every $1,000, that translates to about $30 in payment. So if we are $200 away in payment, we can say if $200 times 36 months, that's roughly $7,200. Yep, $7,200. So we would have to find $7,200 worth of negotiating room in order to get that payment down to $400. Anyhow, that is, let's do the math in calculating a lease. I hope that was helpful. We're going to take a quick break. This is the WSCO Weekly Podcast. Hey, listeners, if you're in Southern California or traveling to Southern California, give us a call or drop us a line. We may have some ideas for you for things to do and discounts available when it comes to things car, food, and music related. Call us, drop us a line, 949-456-8335, 949-456-8335, or visit us on the web, weeklywscopod.com, weeklywscopod.com. Now I want to share with you tips on visiting a dealership. Presuming you have not called in or emailed and you basically just drove onto the lot and now are walking around or, and are met by a salesperson, that salesperson could be an hourly individual or a commission-based salesperson. If they're hourly, certainly they're not going to ever make you feel forced or coerced to get a car today. And though certainly they might not be as motivated either to sell you a car. So there's goods and bads of that. But regardless, a salesperson will meet you up and hence the visit begins. So first off, the first thing I think it's important to know is that it's okay to talk price. It's okay to talk payment. It's okay in general to talk numbers. Now, I don't know if it was because the automotive industry was, the media mechanic of the auto industry was promoting topics such as, oh, well, you want to stay away from price till the very end, and perhaps it was sales people of the past who made you feel cheap if you started talking about price or numbers. I'm a firm believer that at any point during the visit, at the very beginning, middle, end, and, you know, certainly you don't want to wait till the end, it's okay to talk price. It's okay to talk numbers. This also helps out the salesperson too, because certainly if you are looking, let's say, for a $500 monthly payment on a car, and the car that you are actually looking at, he knows or she knows in their head that that payment is easily $700 and above, well, this is going to help manage your time and your expectations from the salesperson who's helping you. So by talking numbers, it's not cliche. You're not going to sound cheap. It's okay to discuss this, bring this up. If a salesperson is ducking the question, the only legitimate reason would be they're a green pea, that being they are very new to the business. If they are ducking the question and they're not new in the business, then what's happening is they're trying to push off that topic so that that can be discussed at the very end. And that's just what us as salespeople at a dealership were taught. But certainly, I always enjoyed if somebody knew the numbers of what car they were getting into already, because I was comfortable with it. I think there's a lot of salespeople that are comfortable with it, although they will try to push it off, but that certainly doesn't mean they're not capable of talking about the numbers. So to make your visit fruitful, talk about the numbers. Okay, second tip. Before you look and drive cars, be sure you know what questions or concerns you want answered. You know, sometimes it's so easy to visit a dealership and just let the salesperson take the lead after you've told them, I'm here to see the Audi A4. And after that, they will go and lead you and they'll take over the show. Well, sometimes they don't do that. And if they don't do that, then that shouldn't inhibit what you are trying to accomplish by visiting the dealership. So be sure you know, what are the features about the car? What's the technology? What's the price? What's the payment? Be sure you know what questions or concerns you want answered, and be sure to ask those, if not once, even twice throughout your visit. The third tip, test drive the car. Let me state that again. Test drive the hell out of the car. I've seen it so many times where, and this is great, I think this is being very respectful. However, as a buyer, you want to make sure that everything about this $1,000 purchase, this tens of thousands of dollar purchase that you're about to make, that mechanically everything is in proper order with the car. And it happens too often where everybody that drives the car is always a bit delicate about the way they want to handle it and treat it and gas it and brake and turn and push buttons. Look, of course, don't break the car, especially if you're planning on buying it, but definitely drive the car, you know, push the buttons, hammer the gas, hammer the brakes, you know, do things to really test out the mechanics, the engineering, and, you know, the computer systems in the car so you feel comfortable about this purchase. That's probably an obvious one, but again, I think there's just too many timid drivers. And by driving, I want to also include in that not just the physical elements of driving the car, but experiencing the drive of the car. Are you hearing any wind noise? Are you hearing any noise whatsoever? You know, sometimes have the radio on, sometimes have the radio off. So get the most out of the car. Don't be afraid to get into every nook and cranny of the car. Test drive the hell out of the car. Last tip, there's probably many tips, but I think if you boil it down to these, you're going to be doing just fine. Last tip, take some time to yourself. I know it's easy for, again, when the salesperson is guiding you through the process, that after you get done with the test drive, he or she, the salesperson that is, will want to you know, give you that setup line so that they can take you inside and then start breaking down the numbers and hopefully trying to sell you a car. Well, take your time if you need to. If you need a little bit of space and you need 5 minutes, 10 minutes so that you can look at all the angles of the car, you can do more thorough inspections of the exterior and the interior. If you just want to sit in it to get a feel for it by yourself, do that. You know, take time to yourself to see the car, feel the car, and don't feel rushed to take it to the next step. Now, of course, please don't take your pretty darn little time either. I mean, you know, with all due respect, you want to make sure that who's ever helping you is also being treated with, or, you know, their time is being treated with respect. But of course, at the end of the day, you are the buyer. Take a look at that car. Take some time to yourself. Maybe, you know, ask the salesperson if you could be excused for about 5 minutes so that you and perhaps your friend, your wife, your partner, you guys can just take a look at the car and see it for yourself, experience it for yourself, talk about it to yourselves. So those would be my tips on visiting a dealership. I think the next step, which would probably, you know, eventually I would want to talk about price and negotiation, but that's certainly more of an art than anything else. So that can be done over several different podcasts. This is Wisco Weekly. Thanks for tuning in.